Well, hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor at the Marion campus. And this past Sunday, we technically had a standalone, which really gives us the freedom to go to a different portion of scripture if whoever's teaching that week, if they so choose. Or I just decided to stay within the Gospel of Luke because I felt like in chapter 14, there was some really, really important stuff that will set us up, I believe, for the next 2 weeks of the series, which will be in chapters 15, 16. And I believe that because Jesus gives a really challenging and, I think, important teaching on the nature of the kingdom of God and the relationship between how we respond to the invitation that God gives us into his kingdom and, yeah, just that whole dynamic. And so, just a little bit of background information. The Jews, when they thought of the kingdom of God, they thought of a physical place. And so their belief was that when the Messiah, the anointed one, would show up onto the scene, he would establish this earthly physical kingdom by, you know, military might. He would come in, he would really wipe out any enemy of Israel, and he would establish this physical kingdom. However, when we look at Matthew chapter 3, for example, verse 2, we see John the Baptist as he is preparing Israel for their Messiah, for Jesus. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." If you look at chapter 17 of the Gospel of Luke, there's Pharisees asking Jesus, really, when will the kingdom of God come? And he answers them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.'" And so essentially what Jesus is saying is, look, the kingdom of God right here and right now is not a place, but it's a person. It's Jesus. Jesus is the king of the kingdom of heaven. And the way we enter into the kingdom of heaven is not entering into a place, but entering into a relationship with a person in Jesus. And that sounds confusing to us, I understand that. And the nature of the kingdom of God is a bit complicated because it is already in the sense that when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he established a spiritual kingdom that we enter into through faith and repentance in Jesus. And it's not yet in the sense that eventually, one day, Jesus will wipe away every enemy, Satan will be bound, Jesus will establish a kingdom here on earth, everything will be made new, and there's the sort of eternal, unending, the reality of a future kingdom as well. And so things get confusing, but to stick sort of to the main point, the Jews really did not understand what Jesus was doing and did not understand the nature of his kingdom. And as a result of a lack of understanding of what his kingdom was, they rejected him. And Jesus tells this parable in chapter 14, this parable of a great banquet that this man is giving. And so the parable, always has examples in reality. So this man, we can understand, is God the Father, and he sends these invitations out to everybody. He sends these invitations out, and the way the story is told, it's as if everyone who receives an invitation, they RSVP, yes, we'll be there. And so then when the time comes for the party to happen, the party to take place, there's a second invitation sent out that says, hey, the everything's ready. Come on, come to the party. That's how things sort of worked back in the day. You wouldn't have a save the date. You would have a save the general range of days because things were just a little bit more less rigid than they are today in terms of timing. But that's beside the point. So anyway, these initial people, they had RSVP'd, yes, we're going to be there. We are going to be at this banquet. You tell us when. And so then when everything is ready, again, the man, he sends out to say, hey, everything's ready. Come on in. And those who had RSVP'd, yes, begin responding with, well, I bought a field. I need to go look at my field. And then another person says, well, I've got some oxen. I need to try them out. And then a third person says, well, I just got married. And when you look at the nature of these excuses, they're completely invalid. They're just sort of nonsensical. What they reveal is a prioritizing of secondary things over a prioritizing of making good on the commitment that you had RSVP'd yes. And the master of the house, the man throwing the party, he says, well, fine. You will never taste my banquet. Go instead and invite the riffraff. Go invite the outsiders, the outcasts. Go invite the people on the streets because they will taste my banquet. And this... this parable is really a representation in a picture of what God is doing with the Jews. You see, when God rescued Israel out of Egypt, when God established his covenant with them on Mount Sinai, when God promised a great nation to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, essentially Israel was RSVPing, yes. Hey, we're in, God. We are there. You count us in. We are with you. And God is saying, okay, well, give me some time, and we're going to do some things, and there's a lot of history in there. And that second RSVP, hey, everything is ready, that's when Jesus comes in his earthly ministry. And the kingdom is at hand. The feast is ready. The banquet is here. Jesus says, look, I'm here. Go ahead. And then all of a sudden, the Jews who had RSVP'd, yes, suddenly they're saying, well, that's not what I was expecting. I got a thing. You know, I'd rather be important here and now. I'd rather have my religious rules. I'd rather go check this thing out. My priority is these secondary things. My priority is not you, God. And so God says, well, I'm going to reject you. And he does. And here's the warning for us. You see, when we place our faith in Jesus, we've RSVP'd, yes, Jesus, I'm yours. Yes, Jesus, whenever you return, and you will return, I am ready and I am waiting. And it's a warning for us because Jesus could come at any moment. And the warning is he might find us prioritizing secondary things over his things. He might find us setting up our temporary kingdoms and not looking forward to his ultimate kingdom. He might find us settling for second best. And the warning there is for us to say, I have RSVP'd, yes, I've placed my faith in Jesus. I'm ready whenever Jesus comes back or whenever my life comes to an end. I'm ready. And I just want to bring that to you to say, what is it that you're prioritizing in this life? Is Jesus first? Are extracurriculars for your kids first? Is your family and friends first? And those are all wonderful things. Please don't hear me say that. We have responsibilities. God has given us blessings. That was one of the unique things about the excuses that were given in the parables. All of them were good things, but they were secondary things. And the commitment God calls us to is for him to be the first thing. And so what that requires is us looking at our lives and say, what do I prioritize above Jesus? They could be great things, but when you put those great things in the place of God, they serve as really poor gods, and they reveal that our allegiance and our hearts are set on those things and not on God things. So I want to take a minute to pray. And I know this is, you know, a bit of a difficult message today. So, you know, I just want you to process through that in prayer. And go and read Luke 14. Luke 12, 13, 14, really difficult chapters, but critically important chapters, I believe, for our relationship with Christ. So thanks for joining us today. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. I'm going to pray for you first, and then I'm going to encourage you to pray as well. Father, your word is hard sometimes, and at the same time, I want to praise you for it, because we know what your expectation is. We know that you expect us to place you on the throne of our lives. And Father, forgive us for the times that we place secondary things on the throne of our lives. When we sort of cast you aside for a moment, or for these lesser things that seem really exciting in the moment. Father, would you focus our hearts on you? Would you give us a right heart toward the blessings that you've given us? Those are good, the work, the relationships, all of those things are wonderful blessings from you, Father. But Father, protect us from ever making them God things in our life. Father, we trust you. We love you. We come to you in Christ's name. Amen.